Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps
out. A very good evening to everyone who has tuned into Spirit 88.3 FM in Kumasi, Ghana. For those online, greetings, various parts of the world, those outside Accra, outside Kumasi, Accra, Cape Coast, Accra, all these places listening, special greetings to you. Welcome to the last edition for the year 2021. Indeed, the Lord has been good. We thank God for his goodness and his mercies. You know, sometimes we are ungrateful. Sometimes we live our lives as though we own ourselves and we just do things by our own connections and, you know, strategies and things that everything works well. Okay, we did well and all. We rarely realize that the fact that we can even breathe is not our making. You know, sometimes you just have to reflect about life and see the reality of life and realize how good God has been to us. You know, most times we look at the fact that we need this, we want this, we couldn't get this, we lack this, and it overshadows and it crowds out sort of the goodness of God that he's done for us. But this evening, I'm starting with this admonition for us to be thankful to God, that in everything we have to be thankful. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything. He didn't say in some things. He didn't say in most things. He didn't say in few things. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me, in this case, you and I. You know, January running through to December, in a country with mortality, daily mortality of about 150, that means every day, averagely, plus or minus, some numbers, around 150 dies every day in Ghana, plus or minus, around 150. And if at the end of all these weeks and gone through 11 and a half months and you are still alive, you have every reason to thank God. Because you see, others started the year, even on the 1st of January, they couldn't even see the end of the first day of the year. You have been, I mean, you've had the mercy and the grace of God and the goodness of God, and you've seen through up to today. The fact that things didn't go well in the year does not mean you shouldn't thank God. Does not mean we shouldn't be grateful to God. The fact that maybe things haven't gone well and this Christmas, you are just wondering how things are going to be, how you are going to live, how you are going to feed the children, how you are going to celebrate it if you are the type that celebrates Christmas. I mean, you are just wondering that in the midst of these difficulties and challenges in life and job losses and all these challenges, can we thank God in the midst of all these? And the answer is yes. The fact that you even have life, if you go to Confanoche right now, you'll be amazed that the body parts that you have intact, that you don't even think about, others wish they can have a replacement. Others are just struggling to breathe. Oxygen has been placed on people. You know, this year, my brother, the one I come after, he nearly died. He was placed on oxygen, and it was that bad. Our family had to pray and pray and pray, and thank God, he's alive. You know, and you see, that's when you realize the importance of life challenges, and you realize that breathing, I mean, we breathe in and out. We don't even think about it. We don't even calculate, because it's like it's normal, it's automatic. We just think we have to breathe, so it's unconsciously, it's part of us. We don't even bother to reflect, hey, this thing that I'm doing, is it that valuable? Is it that important? It's just, I mean, it's normal. But sometimes we just have to pause and reflect that yes, breathing is normal, but it's not normal because it's a very valuable gift that God has given to you today. Because tomorrow, it's not everybody who is going to get that gift. Even this evening, it's not everybody who is going to get it. Because some will not be able to breathe. In the next second in this world, somebody is dying somewhere. You know, so let's be grateful to God, whether we have or we don't have. In our needs and in our lack and in our wants and in our challenges and in our difficulties, let us be grateful to God. The year has been a bit rough, up and down for some and all that. It's been good for some, depending on whichever way it is. We still have to thank God. You know, some years back, I went to visit a friend who had done surgery and was recuperating at home. And he told me something which, you know, something as ordinary as just peeing around. I mean, it was a big deal. It's normal. But when he said, when he did the surgery, then he realized how serious it is. The pain, and it's like, wow, something as ordinary as just peeing around, we don't even value it as anything. You drink water, or you just stand anywhere, I mean, you don't. But when he went through the pain and the surgery, he now placed a value on it. Years back, I remember I had tonsillitis and couldn't swallow anything, and it's like, wow. You drink water, you swallow, whatever, you free eating, drinking, whatever. But when you see someone in pain, struggling to do something as simple as just swallowing even their own saliva, it's not possible. The pain that they're going through, then you realize God has been good to us. The disease that you got, you didn't die. Others got a fraction of it and they died. The pain that you have been able to endure throughout the year, others couldn't endure it, they committed suicide. The pain that you survived, others died out of that same pain, that same disease, that same level of pain that you went through and survived, others couldn't. They died out of it. The same situation which you are today listening to this program, someone is at the psychiatric hospital based on that same situation. Someone committed suicide based on the same situation that you are in, and you have been able to survive it. You see, we have to be grateful to God. It's such a pity when, I believe, yes, God will feel sad when he does things for us and we just don't regard, don't realize that it is his goodness that sees us through these things. Oh, yes, you're educated. You have a job. Oh, yes. So, you see, fine. Your job acquisition and everything is based on your education. But others have that same qualification, even more than yours, and they are still at home. You see, so, you see, we have to know that the favor of God that stands for us behind the scenes, if we were to see every good act that God does for us, perhaps then we will understand his goodness better. But you see, we don't have to see it before we believe it. We don't have to see the angels physically doing connections for us and doing this, blocking cars so that when, I mean, the cars didn't hit us on the road and all. We don't have to see it physically. We just have to understand that behind the scenes, there is a God that was manipulating things for us in the course of the year. The road that you cross every day, you don't even see it. People cross that same road and they were killed. Cars knocked them down, paralyzed, some in wheelchairs, accidents. I mean, in Ghana, we are in a country where now the probability of you dying from accidents than from any other disease, even COVID. I mean, the probability that you die from accident than from COVID is high. If you look at the mortality, the accident numbers COVID compared to COVID numbers, COVID is nothing compared to accidents in Ghana. But you have survived it. You see, so we have to be grateful to God for all that he's done for us. I mean, all the good things didn't go too well, the bad, the ugly, lost friends, loved ones, you know, yes, the pain and all. But in everything, we still have to give thanks to God. It's a habit and a lifestyle that is very, very crucial, because it makes a lot of difference. It makes a lot of difference. See, so we need to understand that it is God. It is God and not us. It is just him and him alone. You see, when we understand things from that perspective, then our prayers can even be more channeled. I mean, in a better way. Is it because some of us are ungrateful to God that our prayers now go nowhere and means nothing to God, because we keep asking, and even when he answers them, we don't even go back to say thank you. We don't bother to thank him. We don't bother to, you know, we don't appreciate all that he does for us. Rather, we appreciate men because we think it's men who did these things for us. But you see, it is God who behind the scenes connected, touched the hearts of men to have mercy on you. It's God who touched the hearts of men to have favor on you. Behind the scenes, he was connecting things for you. So when things have gone well in the course of the year, and the year is ending, and you look back and you say, oh, yes, I mean, today, this year, I've achieved this, I did this, I passed this exam, I did this, I did that, I did all the blah, blah, blah. Remember that there's a God behind the scenes who was working things out for you. It's not your own self. It's not your own degree, your master's, your PhD. It's not your own certifications. It's not your own ideas and strategies, connections. It is simply God who helped us. And when we understand this, it puts us in a position where our thanksgiving is really worth giving it to God, because it's from the bottom of our hearts. It's so important. It's so important. You see, we have to get to the point where our perception of life is God and nothing else. You see, when we see things from that angle, it helps us to appreciate the little things he does in our lives. It helps us to understand his goodness and his mercies in our lives every day. His mercies are new every morning. Most of us wake up in the morning, we don't even say thanks to God. We just wake up, we are late, running, we are late, up and down. And, you know, we should change our lives. We should, you know, we should stop these things and now have a thankful heart, a thankful lifestyle of thanksgiving. It's very, very important. You know, because, you see, if you can't be grateful to God for the little things, quote and unquote little, because some things we think is little, but they are not little. But it's all part of the ungratefulness. If we can't even appreciate him for quote and unquote little things, how can we expect him to do big things for us? How can we expect him to do things which are mind blowing? The small, small things, guy, you don't recognize him. You don't even thank him for it. Now, we're here then. We're here. Now, we're here. I mean, we are just, we don't say it, drama, but our attitude, our mindset, the way we reflect on these things alone shows that that's how we are thinking. But if we do so, it also affects our prayers. It affects the way God sees us, that we are not worth being helped. We are not worth being assisted. You see, so let's change our attitude, let's change our lives and be people who thank God in everything, for everything he does for us in every day. All right, so this is the last edition of Issues for the year 2021, and we have every reason to thank God seeing us through. This is, I think, edition number 46, I believe, yeah. And he's been with us all these weeks and months in the year 2021. A lot of things happened this year in the news. We looked at many things, and the year is climaxing, and the year has been a really busy year in terms of things happening. The shaping of the world towards the Antichrist system. The globalists are really doing everything they can to shape the world in the way that is fulfilling scripture in various, various ways. You know, it's amazing how Bible prophecies are unfolding tremendously around us. But sadly, most believers are not really catching the drift. You know, we think, what's the connection? This is nothing. You see, a lot is happening. Behind the scenes, a lot is happening. And as we get into the new year, God willing, next year, I believe people would understand some things better, because we are going to see a lot of things next year, God willing. A lot of things are going to happen next year. It's just going to be one explosive year with many Bible prophecies on fulfilling, and from natural disasters, big disasters, from the earthquakes to the wild things, and the way things are shaping up with wars and rumors of wars, disasters. I mean, a lot of things are escalating gradually and gradually and gradually. You know, I was telling a friend that, I mean, it's very likely that this year will be the last normal Christian Christmas for the world. Normal as we know it for the world, because next year by this time, it's going to be something else. Yes. I mean, the truth has to be said sometimes. And you see, but the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is, let's read Romans chapter 11, verse 22. I believe, I think I'm right. Yeah. Okay, Romans 11, 22. It says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness," and then, "if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." Goodness and severity. Oftentimes, we don't want to talk about the two sides of God. We just want to talk about only the goodness of God. But we are entering into a season where the world is going to see the two sides of God openly. The severity of God is going to be openly seen in this world. God is going to start doing some serious movements in some countries, and sinners and unbelievers will realize that, yes, indeed, there is a God that we serve. You know, they've had their failed day, you know, as if God, there's no God. But we are going to see things. God is going to start shaking the nations. God is going to start shaking the systems. And people, I mean, if you saw the news last week in the U.S., the tornadoes that happened in about 3-4 states or so, and the towns that were destroyed, within a few hours, towns have been razed down as if, I mean, you realize, you see, when God allows some things to happen, then you realize we have to fear God. The world doesn't fear God again. The world thinks God is old history, something, you know, nothing to bother about. The reason why some of these things are going to happen is God is going to use it to draw the attention of the nations back to himself. Yes, you see, sometimes human beings will become so stubborn that the only thing that will push us back to God is disasters. And a lot is going to happen next year. Situations which would cause people, but it's a two-way thing. So those who walk in the Lord, stay in the Lord, trust in the Lord, live according to his will, his goodness will be upon them. But for those who would, you see, let me state this clearly. We are living in the season, and we are entering into a season where the lines have been drawn. It's either you are a Christian, true Christian, or you are not a Christian. The days of lukewarmness, I'm here, I'm there, one leg in the world, one leg in the church type of things, please, you have to be careful, because it's either you declare your stance that you are fully on the left or on the right. Because, you see, when God begins to shake things, those who are lukewarm and are not serious get blown away out of the way as well. So if we really want to stay in the Lord, let's stay in the Lord. Because that is where our safety will be, and that is where our defense will be gotten from. Anything outside, that one, you're exposed. You're on your own. Because, you see, when the shakings begin, you must be in the ark before your protection is secured. And, you see, you cannot be living carelessly, living in sin anyhow, and expect to be in the ark. And that's the season we are entering where, you see, so when Peter talks of the judgment shall begin in the house of the Lord. Yes, we are really going to see a lot of these things. So we have to live right. It's a call for seriousness and sober reflection that, yes, we may have messed up our lives, lived in sin carelessly in the course of the year and all that. But please, as the year is winding down, as we reflect on the year, one thing we should ensure that we are reflecting on seriously is how we live our lives, our spiritual lives, because it's really, really going to be important as we go into this new year coming. We should be Christians and Christians. We should be Christians on fire for the Lord, in and out. Not partial, not Sunday Christian, Monday to Saturday, lukewarm, Sunday, you warm up yourself again. No, we should be Christians everywhere we go. We should be Christians across board. Not Christians in the morning, Christians in the evening, in the afternoon, when we are in town, we are not Christians. We are Christians when we have friends around us, I mean Christian friends around us, so that we be like them. When they leave, we are not Christians. No. Next year, or even now, I mean, decide going that you are not going to be like that. You see, the call to repentance is what I'm talking about. We should repent from these lifestyles which are not helping us. we've been in this lifestyle of Christianity, in and out. I mean, active, inactive, active service, inactive service. We are in and out for all these years. Let's draw the line and say enough is enough. Because, you see, it's either we do it willingly, or we may be forced to do it by circumstances and situations which may not be pleasant. And for that one, it becomes a bit dangerous because you don't know what will happen or what can happen out of that. You see, so let's decide to live right. Let's decide to do what is right. Let's decide that we are going to be Christians through and through. It's very, very critical and it's very, very important. The reason is, you see, Christianity is going to face more attacks in the world. We are seeing it in some parts of the world, some places, Christians, you know, persecution, increasing the persecution index by the various persecution ministries that analyze these things. They paint a very grim picture for this year, and it's not going to get better next year. Next year will be worse. More countries are going to be added to it. You see, a country like Ghana, sometimes people think, oh, as for Ghana, yeah, we are a Christian nation. Oh, yeah, the census also showed a lot of Christians. Yes, yeah. Are we a Christian nation? You know, by the numbers, oh, yes, we are. We have the numbers. Christians are the majority and all that. But what is Christianity? What is Christianity? Because if we Christians were the majority indeed, then our system should be different. The corruption, the mess all around should not, because if the majority are in charge of everything, and yet there's evil, and the evil is increasing all around us, where are the Christians who are in charge? Where are the Christians working at government offices? Where are the Christians at the various places who should be making an impact as Christians? So there's a big question mark in terms of the quality of Christianity that we profess to be. Because if we are Christians, it should be seen in and out at our workplaces. We should be seen as Christians. We should be known as Christians. But if we say we are Christians, everybody says it's a Christian. I mean, everybody you meet largely says, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I'm a Christian. But the system doesn't reflect that way. You see, so that's one thing we should stop deceiving ourselves with. But the worrying thing is there's this news item. Today I'm just doing one or two news items. And yesterday when I saw it, I realized Christians, we have to pray. We really, really, really have to pray. And this concerns Ghana. And let me quickly get into that news item. EI, that's executive instrument in the offen to bar unvaccinated persons from moving into public places, according to Dr. Da Costa Abuaje. So let me read. It says, the director of health promotion at the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Da Costa Abuaje, has disclosed that an executive instrument, EI, is being drafted to make vaccination compulsory before an individual can access public places such as workplaces, churches, and bars. Emphasis, churches. Underline, churches. Bold, churches and bars. Workplaces, churches, and bars. Earlier, Dr. Abuaje indicated that compulsory vaccination will kickstart in January 2022. Quote, currently, we are not doing any mandatory vaccinations. We have declared the month of December as the month of vaccination, and this month of December intends to give the population enough opportunity to get vaccinated. So before we come into the compulsory vaccinations, which will kickstart in January, which the minister will announce the date, all these modalities will be in place so that people's rights are respected. You are going to do this and you tell us people's rights are respected. You don't even respect our rights in the first place to even thinking about that. He told Kweku Nshira Addo on Asase Breakfast Show on Wednesday, December 15th, 2021. To this effect, the Director of Health Promotion at the GHS, has announced that an EI will be implemented to give legal backing to the compulsory vaccination mandates. We are pleading with Ghanaian population to support us with this vaccination because we are all not safe. You and who are not safe until everyone is vaccinated. This thing is a lie. That statement alone, I'll come to that. It is very important. And come January, should you not do this, you will not be able to get into certain public places. I must be honest. We are working on the EI that will mandate us to do that. Dr. Da Costa said on Join News, The Pulse on Wednesday, December 15, 2021. Meanwhile, the President, Ronaldo, in his 27th update on measures taken by government against COVID-19, entreated Ghanaians to vaccinate as the vaccine will not harm you, but rather help and protect you and your family. He also refuted claims that the vaccine will alter people's political preferences. As for that one, I mean, it's not possible. I mean, how can it change your party affiliation? I wonder those who were pushing that propaganda anyway. Then, contrary to the mischief being peddled by some, getting vaccinated will not cause you to vote for MPP in 2024. if you do not want to. Okay, the President noted. So that's an outrageous claim, as he asserted. Yes, for that one, I agree with him. But the others, no. But this is a serious issue. So from January, if you don't take a vaccine, you can't go to church. That's what the doctor is saying. And they are going to pass an EI, executive instrument, the president will sign it. It becomes law in the land. Just imagine something. Let me give you a scenario. You know, in Ghana, nothing matters. Anything goes. So laws are not laws. People don't care about things. No mask. Nobody goes around the churches to check. So let's imagine a situation like that. The law is passed. People go to church. They don't have vaccine cards. And then ushers see the security coming. And they shout, the police are coming. What do you expect? People are going to run from church because security is coming. They don't have a vaccine card. Is this not the same as North Korea and China and what other Christians are suffering in these places we talk about on this program? You see, so when we talk about persecution is coming, sometimes we don't see it from that angle. But you see an indirect way that this thing is coming. You see, when the first they said, oh, if you don't take a GFA, you can't watch football match at the stadium. Oh, okay. Yanko Stadium and fire, huh? It's not their case. They say, oh, if you don't take it, you can't go to the beach. Oh, okay, I won't go and swim. It's not our case. You can't go to the bar. You can't go to the pub. Oh, it's not our case. You see, we thought it was for others. Now, they are adding the church to it. You see how the whole thing is going. And Christians have been quiet in terms of defending our faith as believers. What do we stand for? Our faith is, we believe in Jesus Christ, who is also a healer, who can also protect us. You see, faith is a spiritual thing. You see, you can't see it. But the Constitution allows people to practice their faith because if I say I believe in this, the Constitution respects my religious beliefs and expressions. So if somebody says he believes that he can be protected spiritually, or his faith demands that he doesn't take any medicine, but God will heal him or her, depending on whatever it is. Why then do you have to force that person to take a medicine against his will? Or else he cannot serve his God in the church that he serves his God in. I mean, this is an affront to Christianity because, in a sense, you are saying that, yes, we believe your God is a healer, Jesus is a healer and everything, but now we say your Jesus cannot heal you. Unless we give you a medicine first before you can go to your Jesus that can heal you. That's the import of what they are saying. Let me read this open letter to church leaders in Ghana. Then we continue from there. Okay, I think I have it here. Okay, so let me read open letter to Christian leaders in Ghana. The Christian Council, Catholic Bishops Conference, the Ghana Charismatic Bishops Conference, National Association of Charismatic and Christian Churches, and the Ghana Pentecostal and Charismatic Churches. And it's a 15-point open letter. The first point is, for the first time in Ghana, a lot of Christians are entering the festive season with worries, anxiety, fear, and lastly, disappointment in their leadership. That's church leadership, Christian leadership. The question on the minds of some believers is, who is going to speak for them in the pending COVID-19 draconian laws coming upon the land? Due to victimization and punishment, the silent majority cannot express their fears and worries openly. Point two. A few months ago, we all saw the power and zeal with which the church rose up in support of the LGBTQI bill in our parliament. It is in this same measure that the flock that you lead are waiting to hear your voices against the vaccine mandates and the related restrictions that is going to affect the church in Ghana. Three, it is no secret that COVID-19 is not a major killer in our country. COVID-19 deaths is by far overshadowed by other killers in our land. We cannot see the attention being accorded COVID-19 being done for the bigger killers. In case you are not aware, the mortality of this virus is around 1%. How can we allow such a virus to make us live fearful? On the contrary, the politicians see it as a big giant for reasons best known to them. We must not allow them to transmit their perceived fear into us. Point four. The president is about to sign an executive instrument that would make it mandatory to be vaccinated before going to church. This can be read here. So that's the news I read. And then number five. Last year, when the churches and schools were closed, it was a period to study and know more about the virus. Unfortunately, when churches were allowed to open, worshippers in public schools were barred from using these premises. It was an indirect strike against the church in Ghana, and several hundreds of churches have collapsed, and some believers falling out of faith. It is unfortunate that not much was said or was heard from Christian leaders in this regard, and we allowed the status quo to remain. And then, point six, the 3 months church closure affected the church in Ghana. And even now, attendance in a lot of churches has not been the same as pre-COVID era. People have fallen and backslidden due to the church closure. Point seven, there's a pending second strike by the devil against the church indirectly again. But we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. If we failed to see the first strike, we must not fail to see the second strike. On the surface, things are being done in the name of public health. But as spiritual leaders, you must not fail to see beyond the physical. Point eight. There is enough evidence that shows the vaccines are not working as they claim. The vaccinated are still getting infected and also transmitting it to others, just as the unvaccinated. So it is obvious that the vaccine protects only the recipient and not others, as we are being forced to believe. Even the vaccinated are still getting hospitalized, and even more seriously, some are dying after taking the vaccines. Point nine. They are grieving and worried families and friends who have seen the negative effects of these vaccines in their homes, including deaths of loved ones. And then there's a link of Fox News. They gave an item on the fact that the U.S., they should stop using Johnson & Johnson in the U.S. But we are using it here. So the point goes on to say that, so what happens to those who took this vaccine in Ghana? Can't we see that what is going on in the world is experimentation on a large scale? Human lives are not guinea pigs to be trial and error on. It is news like this, that's the Fox News, and many others, that some Christians have expressed hesitancy and fear in going for the vaccines. Rather, they have chosen to exercise their faith in the God that we serve, who protects and heals all our diseases. May it not be said that we once had or we once had leaders of faith in Ghana who did not believe their God could heal and protect. Leaders must not discourage their followers from exercising their faith, which the Constitution of Ghana allows. Point 10. The rush to vaccinate as many as they can is premised on the fact that some vaccines are about to expire. And this was said by one of the professors even this week in one of the news items. The US and EU stockpiled several millions of vaccines, and as some unused ones get close to expiration, they get dumped into Africa as donations. And this was even BBC Nigeria. They destroy some, and now they say they'll be cautious about receiving vaccines which are getting close to expiration. Point 11. On the issue about herd immunity being achieved, we must be truthful to ourselves. Even countries that have several millions of vaccines and with high vaccination rates like Israel have still not been able to achieve herd immunity. What makes us the beggars and recipients of crumbs from the tables of rich nations think we can achieve immunity? We should just learn to live with the virus as we follow protocols and build our immunity, especially have good levels of vitamin D. This is why cases are rising in the Northern Hemisphere with the arrival of winter. We are blessed with the abundance of sunshine, hence much lower effects of COVID-19 in Ghana. And there are links to research works from the US NIH, which really points the link between COVID and vitamin D and all those things. Point 12. If expression of our faith is a fundamental part of our religion, then it must be protected. This is where the believers in Ghana are looking up to you to voice out against the attack on our faith. Religious exemption must be respected in the vaccination of citizens. Point 13. If the tyrannical laws of public health are allowed to take effect in this land, be it known unto you that church attendance would drop further, because we still have believers who would not bow to the statue called vaccine mandate. If the three Hebrew boys could stand in the face of death and defy their king, the millions of believers in Ghana, led by their leaders, must be bold to do same. Point 14. And that's the last but one. If we cannot take advantage of our numbers in the land to defend our faith and the right to practice same, one day it shall be said in the church history of Ghana that there was once a set of Christian leaders who failed the body of Christ in the land. If we cannot find enough verses in the Word of God to give us courage and boldness to take a stand, then let us meditate on the words of the national anthem. Perhaps that would give us enough motivation to stand for our rights as people of faith. Last point, 15. In conclusion, may it be known unto you that you cannot stand guiltless before God if you keep mute at a time when you can make a change. Be the Moses and lead your followers in Ghana from laws that would affect many directly and indirectly in the times ahead. Where are the voices of reason in the land of Ghana? Let them arise and take a stand against tyrannical laws. God bless our homeland, Ghana, from a concerned Christian in Ghana, 17 December 2021. I mean, so if you want the link, I can send it to you as well. Let's share it. I mean, we keep sharing now to the pastors, the bishops, the leaders will see and make a stand and a statement for us. You see, if we fail to make a stand, we'll be there. And little by little, our freedoms will be taken away as believers. Now, classroom churches collapsed. That's it. Can you imagine the number of churches that were in classrooms all over the country? Now they are not opening again. They are not opening. It's closed. They can't have access to it. And you see, we kept quiet. Everybody kept quiet as if nothing has happened. See, so that's how it. One thing is moved. Now, those who were going to secondary schools to preach to their students and all, in the name of COVID, they are not allowed to go. But the students are doing things. They did math and science quiz, and I mean, they are shouting. I mean, life is going on in schools. But preaching, somebody going to stand and preach, that one is not allowed. But they can do all other things in the name of public health, COVID. It is so. You see, it looks like, oh, it's harmless, public health. But our freedoms as believers are being removed little by little. And this one will be a major one that would cause a lot of harm to the body of Christ. It will affect a lot of believers because, you see, then you have a situation where people will stop going to church because they don't have a vaccine card, because they say they will not take the vaccine, so they are not going to church. But should we get there in the first place? As we stand now, our COVID laws is one of the harshest in the whole of Africa. Even before this new one is going to be signed. If then this one is added to it, then I don't know where we are reaching. Then Christians, we are just getting close to being like those in North Korea, those in China, underground churches and all. Because then people have to be doing home fellowships at home, cell meetings at home. And even that, if someone goes to report, they are doing a small church here, family home or fellowship church in the house, and some policemen just feel like coming to disturb and bother you. They come, where are your vaccine cards? We don't have it. They can arrest you because the law empowers them anyway. Can you imagine how subtle this whole thing is? It looks like it's far away. Oh, persecution is far away, it's far away. But see where it is coming from. Look at the angle where this thing is coming from, and it's going to affect Christians largely. I mean, because you see, you think it doesn't matter, but little by little, you say that, oh, you there, well, you have taken, so you go to jail, it doesn't matter. But you see, that's how things start. Freedoms, that's how freedoms are lost. Read history and all that. You see, it's one thing at a time. They don't do things at once. It's a little at a time. This is a global agenda being pushed from various angles. But it seems we are going at a much faster rate than necessary as a country. And in essence, believers would suffer unduly at an earlier rate than other Christians elsewhere. Though others are also suffering. But see, per our atmosphere and everything in Ghana, we've not reached where we should get to. We don't need these things here because life is going on well. Look at our numbers. I mean, people should just check the numbers themselves, the statistics. Go online, check the statistics and see if this is something which should cause us to just move in fear, live in fear, as if the world is coming to an end. Without this, you can't do that. Without this, you can't do that. Let's reflect, Christians, and pray seriously regarding these things. Let's pray for our church leaders, the leaders at the various groupings, the Catholic Bishop Conference, the Charismatic Bishop their Conference, the Pentecostal Council, the GPCC, the National Association of Charismatic and Christian Churches. Let's pray for, because these are the people who can say things, take a stand on our behalf, and it will make an impact. They need our prayers the most. We don't pray for our pastors too often. We don't pray for our leaders as we should. I mean, but this is now a must. It is a must, because if we think, oh, what's the big deal? We'll be here, and little by little, things will be taking shape. Because, you see, if you the drafts haven't come, the law is not, we've not seen the contents of the EI. But if it says you can't move into public places, into workplaces, into churches, in a sense, every Christian who doesn't take this cannot go to church, cannot go to work. Any Christian who doesn't take this cannot go to an office. But you see, this is where now we have to see that if we don't take our stance as believers, little by little, our religious freedoms are being eroded. Yes, it's that serious. But you see, a lot of people are not seeing the severity of these things we talk about. You know, when last year, before the vaccine even came, on this program, I sat here and we talked about the fact that COVID passports will come, limitations and all these. It looked like conspiracy theory. At the time when some of these things were said, it was far-fetched because it didn't exist. So it sounded like conspiracy theory. Some thought it was just conspiracy theory. Where are we now? A lot of things said last year through to this year, are we not seeing them on this program? We said it. We are seeing them. You see, if we don't take the steps as believers and pray seriously, and pray seriously for her leaders. Soon we realize that our freedoms have been taken away from us. You see, and it starts, you see, this week someone said something that is in the name of something, then now it becomes an advantage to do other things in addition. So in the name of this public health, you can't do this, you can't do that. Tomorrow, do you know the next thing they will say? You can't read your Bible. You can't take your Bible. You can't do this. You can't do that. That one too will sound far-fetched. But you see, when they succeed in doing one, then they become emboldened to do another. That's how these things work. When they succeed in doing first one. So last year, the churches were closed, locked down, 3 months. Oh, okay, it worked. Classroom churches closed. It worked. Okay. Pastors, don't go to schools and preach. It worked. Okay. Now let's add this. We sit down. It will also work. Then, okay, people are meeting. They are not going to church, but now they are gathering small, small in their homes, cell meetings, fellowships, small, small in their communities. Let's go after that one too. So now then, you should have a vaccine card before you can even meet in your own home with your friends and family. Then that one too will come. You see, so it starts somewhere and it moves deeper and deeper and deeper. That's how these things work. And we believers should not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We should not. We should not. You see, as for the leaders, they are human beings. But there are things that can happen through their decisions, and the devil will never come directly to us. He would hide behind the scenes and be manipulating things and pushing things. If he comes head on straight, he wants to close churches directly. He wants to stop Christians from going to church. Oh, no. That one there will resist. Everybody will, hey, no, that one you can't do. You can't do be a Christian. You can't do that. But you see how subtle it looks. It looks, oh, public health. So if you don't take it, you can't go to church. If you don't take it, you can't go to church. Where does that lead us? Is it not the same as North Korea? Is it not the same as China, underground churches? You see, so, yes, we scream on the top of our voices, we are a Christian nation. But I'm telling you, we are not a Christian nation. Far from that, we are not. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. We are not. And if the believers, we don't rise up and pray, everybody, if you want, I mean, I can send you the message. Let's forward. I've been sharing. We are sharing now. Let's share it. Share it to your pastors. They should share and get to the top, the GPCC leaders. I mean, so that they would act. They would know that they have to do something. We are looking up to them. They should not fail us, because if they fail us, then they have failed God, and God will hold them accountable. Because at the time when they should have spoken, look at the LGBT, how vocal they were. And the government is afraid. The government is afraid of the church's position, because Pentecost alone said, we are this number. If you misbehave, we'll just get on the streets. And it's like, hey, which government wants to mess with a group that they can change your votes? Politicians are careful who they touch. But you see, if you are quiet, then they can touch you. Because we've become sleeping dogs, sleeping giants, and we are asleep, so they don't fear us. But ideally, they should be afraid of us. And when we rose up in the LGBT, we see 2 years ago, yes, we rose up CSC, Comprehensive Sexuality Education. That one too, the government was afraid. They had to stop it. Then we were quiet. We slept. LGBT, we rose up again. We shouldn't go back to our sleep as believers. We should maintain the momentum and stand as believers and pray and push whatever is right for us as believers. Because our freedom as believers, our faith is under attack. If we don't see it that way, I'm telling you, think about what I've said, reflect about it, and you realize our faith is under attack. Don't see it as a public health issue. See the spiritual implications behind it. Yes, it's a physical law, physical thing, but behind physical things are spiritual things. So the spiritual implication is what I'm talking about on this program. The spiritual manipulation behind it is what we should be concerned about. If we keep quiet, we'll be there and we'll lose our freedoms one step at a time. I'll be back after this short break.
can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry.
Indeed, we need his strength more than ever before as believers. We need his strength in prayer. We need his strength in standing. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were able to stand. We've been reading it from childhood, Sunday school, whatever. We've been reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. We have to make it a practical case in our lives as believers. For how long are we just going to read and read and read just stories, history, stories? You see, we should now get to understand that all these verses, all these Bible chapters, all these books in the Bible are meant to equip us and to empower us as believers. You see, so fortunately or unfortunately, we are getting to the point where we would have to start practicalizing some of the things we've been reading for years. If you've been a Christian for 30 years, that means you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for over 30 years, you know of the story. You've been reading, now you know Daniel chapter 3. It's like we know it. But, well, knowing is one point, but making it applicable in our lives is now the most important point. We should now know. You see, this is what is happening. We are being given a test case of what is coming ahead. A demo, a mock exam of the Antichrist system is what we are seeing in the world in various countries. You see, so if you look critically and carefully, these mandates is not in every country. Even in some countries, Christians are being given religious exemptions. So obviously, that alone should tell you that it cannot be the main thing, the mark of the beast, because if the mark is the mark of the beast, unbelievers will not allow the Christian to have an exemption because he's a Christian. I mean, that's simple logic in the first place. But we are being given a demonstration of how things are going to be like soon in the times ahead. So it's like a mock exam. You see, mock exams looks practicable and very close to the main exam. And see, so we are seeing scenarios that makes it look like it is the main thing. But it's not the main thing, because there are a whole lot of reasons why it's not the main thing. But that's not my emphasis tonight. You see, so we are being shown that when the Bible says a time will come that you cannot buy or sell, it is possible. This is not that time yet. This is not it. But it is possible eventually in the whole world. For now, it's not the, I mean, what we are seeing is not a worldwide thing. It's not something that people are being killed for. And no, we've not reached that point, no. So, but as believers, we should now use these ones to build our faith and to know that, indeed, if the Bible says something like this is coming, it's possible it is coming. It can indeed happen. So these things are now learning curves for us to see that we should now learn to build our faith and our capacity to stand on our religious beliefs. That's why our leaders should not fail us at this critical point in time. You see, so as believers, this gives us the understanding that we should pray and learn how to pray and stand and pray. The time of sleeping, the time of laziness, the time of lukewarmness, technically is over. We are entering into a season where our faith is being tested. And you see, it's unfortunate that it seems the church doesn't see things the way, maybe it's as if some of us are crazy. I mean, but that's not the case. You see, sometimes God allows some people to be watchmen, to see ahead and afar, to warn the majority who are not seeing it. So in a security, in a military camp, during a war zone or a wartime and all that, yes, at a point they will sleep, some will sleep, but there will be watchmen, the watchtowers, and to see afar if the enemy is coming. And at least warn that, hey, even if you are asleep, a time comes that the sentry at the watchtowers, the watchmen, will blow the trumpets and warn you that wake up, the enemy is coming. By the grace of God, that's what some of us are doing, waking up the church. Let's wake up. The enemy is coming big time against the church. We've been too comfortable. We think nothing is coming. We think, North Korea, Eritrea, China. We read, if you've been listening to Issues, I've been talking about this man, these stories, persecution reports. I've been reading. It sounds and looks like, it's other countries. Oh, that's for Ghana, religious country. Oh, Christy, you're doing, I mean, Ghana. Are you sure Ghana? No. You see, we think it cannot be us. We think we are secured, safe, and sound. So let's go back to sleep. We have a president who is a Christian. Oh, don't worry. So we are fine. Hey, let's wake up, oh, Christians. We should arise unto prayer and know that the hour is very late and very dark. Darkness is overshadowing the world, And darkness is overshadowing this land as well. We are not exempted from it. We should know that we have to pray. Stand our ground and pray. That is the only way we can change things. We should learn to pray. This Christmas should not be eating and drinking, enjoyments. No. Just like Esther and Haman was plotting to exterminate them, we have to declare fastings and all that. We have to pray. Because, you see, if we fail to pray and we keep quiet and we don't rally our leaders, our pastors, to say something on our behalf, we'll be there, Christmas, enjoyment. We'll be doing our Christmas conventions and singing carols. Nine lessons and carols. What is coming is not nine lessons and carols issue. So please, we should know that what is at stake. What is the use of singing nine lessons and carols this, 24 for this year, and then next year you can't sing it again? You sing it and then January you can't go to church again. What is the use of celebrating, doing a Christmas convention this week, and then next year, January ending, you can't do prayer meeting again? You see, we should understand the times and the seasons we are in. And like the children of Issachar, know what we have to do. We should understand the season we are in. Darkness is really rising fast on this land. And if we believers do not rise up and pray and stand our ground and know what we have to do as believers in prayer and spiritual warfare, we'll be taken aback. We'll just be there and we'll be caught off guard. You see, in spiritual warfare, when you let the enemy strike first, you can strike back and take back. But if the first blow is that severe and deadly, by the time you recover, the harm has been caused already. So, you see, it is in our interest not to allow the blow to even land in the first place. Because if we say, let's wait and see what is in the law before we rise and pray. Come on. By now, it will be too late. Before now, we'll come and protest and say, why wait till then before we pray, when we can pray now? I hope you get the point I'm making. My point is, we should not be lazy now as believers. We must pray. We must do something. It's better to do something than not to do anything at all. It's better to pray than not to pray. It's better to talk and say something than not to say anything. And we should encourage our leaders. Let's pray for our pastors. Let's pray for our bishops, our prophets. Let's pray for our leaders, spiritual leaders in the land, that they will be emboldened to say something. Because, you see, when I sent the news to my broadcast list, one listener sent me a message. So, Brother Ben, what about the children? When they go? I said, well, do you think they think about the children going to Sunday school? They don't care about the children going to Sunday school. No. That's not part of their mandate. They don't think about, the government doesn't care about children going to Sunday school. When churches were closed and even they opened, remember last year, children were exempted for a long time before pastors started using their own, force, and they started opening, doing children's service on their own and all that. You see, so when it comes to the children, they had like the neglected outcast. Like David was out in the sheep, in the wilderness, tending to the sheep when Saul went to do the, went to anoint the king in their family. The children are neglected. So even in normal churches, some pastors neglect the children. I'm Sunday school children. They are not seen as so important. How much more Ghana government? Oh, come on. So, you see, but this is a classic. So the question was a critical question. What about the children? In a sense, is it in Ghana, we are not doing vaccination for children, as it's been done in the US, 5 years and above are being vaccinated and all that. But you see, so it tells you that now you are going to have a serious situation where, imagine a Sunday school class, their Sunday school teacher says he will not take a vaccine, so he has no car, so he won't come to church. What happens to the children? Teacherless. They have no teacher in their class. A whole lot of scenarios. You think through these things and see the implications beyond just what we think. Look, think through, and you see that it goes beyond. The spiritual implications are far more. So it's not something we should take it as a light matter at all. No. Let's arise unto prayer. if you are a listener, you are listening to me this evening, if it is possible, that's at least next week from tomorrow going, at least you can spend some time in prayer. Those who can fast a little too, at least let's do something. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for our spiritual leaders and the government leaders. Let's pray that this thing will not come to pass. Whichever way, whichever means God will use to scatter their plans and let it, I mean, not come to fruition, we should do something. We should pray as believers. We should pray as believers. We should pray as believers. Because, you see, in countries like China and all those places where they had their freedoms as believers at a point in time, but eventually they lost it. They lost it during the Boxers revolution in China. You can read about the Boxers Revolution. The Boxer, box like boxing, B-O-X-E-R, the box Boxer Revolution or Boxers Revolution. Okay, Boxer Revolution, I think. And all. I mean, is it the Christians had their freedom, but now go to China. It's only the church, government-sanctioned churches that can openly worship. Even that, you have to sing patriotic songs and you have to preach sermons which the government party has approved for you to preach and all that, patriotic and things and all that. If that wasn't the case at first. So the real church is an underground church. Fellowships and sometimes, please, I mean, I've watched some of their real-time true stories that they've used for as movies and all, and their fellowship who doing church in somebody's sitting room, and then somebody is spying on the street to see if the police cars are coming or police, and the police is coming, then hiding the Bibles. And I mean, you see, when you see these things, oh, China, communists. But when you think through well, with this law that is coming, that is where we are getting to. Oh, yeah. Think through well, and you realize that is where we are getting to. It's not something like, oh, this is China, North Korea, they are the underground churches. We are getting to that place. If we fail to pray and we fail to make a change through prayer, we'll get to the point where you are meeting small fellowship in your home and somebody will have to be spying if police is coming to do inspection of vaccine cards. God help us. But this is the reality. This is the reality of the times we are in. That should give us a foretaste of the times ahead. Oh yeah, that should give us a foretaste. Bottom line, we are not in ordinary times. That's why I say we cannot live like we used to live, casual Christianity, feel like praying, you pray, feel like sleeping, I mean, all the time, prayerlessness, no Bible reading, no word, nothing, you just move around, I'm a Christian. Please, those times are over. Because we are headed in a period where we must stand our ground as believers. Oh yes, that's where we are headed now. So you see, it's now going to be a challenge to be a Christian. Because if you want to be, stand your ground, then you must compromise. You must do this. You must do that. You see, we should pray. That's the only power we have. Prayer is the only power we have. That's the only power we have. And I know prayer works. You see, so my encouragement this last edition of 2021 is we must get back to spirituality and take things serious, because our faith is under attack in this land. It looks harmless on the surface. It looks harmless. But this one is nothing. Please, for the pastors, to the pastors and elders and deacons and all listening to me this evening, it doesn't matter whether you've taken the vaccine or not. Our faith is under attack. The fact that you have taken it does not mean you should not speak for those who do not want to take it. Because, you see, at the end of the day, it will be like, I've forgotten the right words in it, but it's like, oh, they came for this group and it wasn't me, so I didn't care. They came for that group, it wasn't me, so I didn't care. By the time you realize, they are coming for you. So it will look like, others, so you are not part, me there. Please, don't see it from that angle. See it as an attack on Christians, including you yourself as well. Let's see it as a collective group, believers, Christians. Our faith is under attack. Let's see it from that angle and stand and pray. These are not the times for divisions and I believe, I don't believe. It's either we believe as believers together or we stand in a fragmented, denominational, self-centered, me and myself and I, me thing. And the wolf will come and catch all of us. But that shouldn't be the case. You see, it will be unfortunate that if we fail to act, one day we'll look back and regret that we didn't act. So if we have the opportunity to act, let us rise and pray as believers. You can send your message to 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. And I believe, yeah, we have a few messages. This is the last edition for 2021. And, yeah, Brother Daniel says, God bless you for keeping us informed. May God continue to grant us the grace and mercies to live for him alone. Shalom, man of God. Shalom, shalom, shalom too. And then, okay. All right. So, you know, we thank God for the year. He's been with us, in and out, been with us, provided for us. We must not lose our guard when it matters most as believers. You know, sometimes Christians get complacent. And complacency is very, very dangerous because you think all is well. Complacency is very dangerous when you think, oh, all is well. This thing, nothing will happen. Then it happens. We should not, please do not ignore the voices of the watchmen who are sounding the alarms from the watchtowers. The fact that you may not understand the dynamics of what is happening should not stop you from at least paying attention to what those who understand what is happening are saying. Pray for God to give you understanding of the season. That's the least we can do. For me, what the Lord shows me and what the Lord tells me, I say it because I don't want anybody's blood to be on my hands. I know I will give accounts for every idle word I say. I know. So when he prompts me to say something, I say it. Then I've rendered my account fully. I said it. If they took it or they don't, that's up to them. But at least I cannot be blamed that I didn't say it because he showed me this, he told me this, he gave me understanding about this, and I kept it for myself. I don't want to be in that position because it's a difficult position when God gives you assignments and you are failing in that mandate. So let's, please, as believers, let's humble ourselves. It doesn't matter our positions, it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter our titles. Let's get to God in prayer and pray about these things. What should we do? Show us, lead us, guide us. It's so important. Prayer is the only thing we can do now. Prayer is the only thing we can do now as believers. And if we fail to pray, then what else do we want to do? What else do we want to do? It's very important. That's why I keep emphasizing on it. I don't know why the Lord makes me just keep emphasizing on it, but let's see it from that angle and act on it. And I want to thank all the listeners from January to December. You've spent your time, your data, your hours. You could be sleeping and all that, listening to me. I'm an ordinary person that God is just using in my little way. And thank you for trusting and listening to me, listening to Spirit 88.3 FM. It's a blessing that the opportunity is there to share His word with you in various ways. I really want to thank you for making time to be listening every Saturday evening at most. I mean, those who can. And there are some dedicated ones who every evening been listening through and through, buying data, listening online, tuning and all that. it's something which is humbling. I mean, when you get to know these things and hear these things, but the glory goes to God and to Him alone. I'm just an empty vessel that's allowing myself to be used. And it's my prayer that we'll challenge ourselves to a higher standard in the times ahead, because we have no option. No. We have no option at all. It's so imperative that we strive higher. You know, sometimes we set low targets and it's just like an earthquake. This sports where the high jump, and see high jump or pole vault, and if you bring the bar very low to your knee level and you jump over it and you shout, "Hey, I've done well, I've won, you've not done anything. I mean, if you bring the bar to your knee level, what have you done? You see, but that's what some of us believers are doing. We set low targets for ourselves for the year. This year I'll pray 5 minutes. I mean, come on. What have you done? 5 minutes. And you are happy you are praying 5 minutes. No. I mean, you see, we should set targets for ourselves and depend on the Holy Spirit to help us to achieve them. It's so important. Let's set targets for ourselves, spiritual targets that would drive us and push us higher. You see, we need to be empowered. Yes, we need to be empowered. And it's only the Holy Spirit that we can trust and depend on. But let's push. Let's push a little further. Let's push a little more. It's so important. Let's push a little more. Sometimes complacency, we think, we've arrived. No. There's nothing like arrival. The arrival is in heaven. Until we cross the gates into heaven, forget it. We've not arrived. We have to strive. And the devil would bring impediment, the devil would bring challenges, the devil would bring difficulties and all. But we shouldn't give up. We should continue pushing further. There are times you feel like giving up, you feel like leaving the faith. I mean, sometimes, you know, you feel like just quitting. You feel like committing suicide. You feel, please, don't. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't quit yet. Don't quit. Hold on. Let me finish with this song. It's a very prayerful song, and I believe it's the right song we need as we enter into the end of the year, into the new year, and all. Especially, we need the leading of the Lord. That's the last set of words I need. We need for ourselves to encourage ourselves. And now we close at 9:30, and 8 to 9:30 for now. 8 to 9:30. So, thank you for listening to this last edition. Listen to this song and continue your night. Good night, and God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah.